Ariel is a community of body, mind, and spirit seekers and believers. Ariel Talk Time, hosted by founder and business psychic Victoria Lynn Weston. She shares thought-provoking conversations with lifestyle experts to awaken and enhance your way of living. If you like this interview, please post a review on iTunes or Stitcher.
Welcome back, everyone. My guest is an author, a mentor, and she is also an editor. We're going to talk about the importance of editing, about authors that have a book out there and are trying to pitch a publisher, and whether or not the importance of having a professional editor is going to advance your potential of having your book published by a traditional Random House type of publisher. Margaret Harrell is a 3-time fellow McDowell Colony who has recently been authoring her memoir series, Keep This Quiet. She talks about her relationship with Hunter S. Thompson. You may know him. He is the Gonzo journalist. She's a freelance editor, and she was also the copy editor of Hunter Thompson's Hell's Angels. But in addition to being an extraordinary meditation instructor, you're also an extraordinary writer, and I thought we'd just highlight just a minute on the fact that you wrote this memoir series. What's as fascinating is about it, few people could even get down to writing their own biography, but you came out with a memoir series, and you know they're called Keep This Quiet. It has to do with various relationships with interesting men, such as Gonzo journalist Hunter S. Thompson and Milton's Sklonsky and Jan Menesert and all these other things. So first, you know, tell me, for those of people that don't know who Hunter Thompson is, he was quite an extraordinary individual. And I think you said Brad Pitt was trying to maybe do his film at some point. But he was the editor. He wrote Hell's Angels, and you were the editor for him. Is that correct?
I worked at Random House in those days, and technically I was assistant editor, copy editor. That's a long story because, you know, in those days you almost had no women editors. But also in those days, the whole editing process was much different. You went through from beginning to end. You had an acquisition editor who went out. So I was not the acquisition editor. Acquisition editor who would go out and find the manuscript. And maybe it wasn't completely written, like in Hunter's case, it wasn't written. And the acquisition editor would pull the chapters out and make sure that the writer could finish a complete book. So I would receive it after the manuscript was complete. So that's a stage in editing. It's not the acquisition stage, and it's not the developmental stage. In his case, I received it when it was ready for copy editing and line editing and any final edits that came through. But that's a whole incredible story because I had all his letters to me, and they were like dynamite. They were funny. They were agonized. They were him being him. And I used them with permission in Keep This Quiet 1 and in Keep This Quiet 2.
I know. It's pretty incredible. I just think it's just amazing. For anybody that would like to know more about Margaret's amazing background and her, you know, living in Europe at various places and of course, being a book editor and a writer as well, and you might want to check out Keep This Quiet series, a 4-part memoir series, which I understand you're actually going to be adding a fifth to that. So I think that is yes. Quite a bit interesting. You know, it brings me to being, you know, a woman in business and all that, and you were, like, I think you alluded to the fact that many women were editors in that. So how are you treated as a woman, you know, being an editor? Because obviously you came up the ranks and were highly respected then, and certainly are very respected today as a writer editor. So what did it feel like being in a male-dominated workplace?
Well, you see, the ones who, in my experience, weren't for promoting women into high jobs were the ones in the very top management. But the ones who were like the actual people doing the work themselves, like the senior editors, they were fantastic. They were totally fantastic.
You didn't have to serve coffee or anything or get up and do any of that.
Oh, no. They were saying, please, will you work on this book with me? Oh, no. They were completely sharing different parts of the job together. No, it was absolutely wonderful. And also there was no, you know, like you hear things about all kinds of things on all levels you hear now. I didn't experience any of that. I was treated quite well. And before that, I worked for a syndicated company, United Feature Syndicate. And it syndicated our columns and cartoons like Peanuts and things like that. And it was the same story. The senior man, whom we never ever saw, so I never met him, he didn't want to promote a female, just sight unseen. And I was an assistant editor. The two senior editors wanted me to stay and be promoted, but they could do nothing with whoever it was, the invisible person at the top. So I had to leave because I didn't have enough of a salary to pay my rent. So that's when I went to Random House, but I never had any kind of issue as far as the people I was working with who had the highest work positions. It was just beyond that where I couldn't see them. they had the ones who had the authority to, you know, make promotions and all. They were the ones.
Very interesting. So in your life, and you've accomplished, you know, many, many things, obviously just being a woman editor and a male dominated, you know, career at that time is pretty extraordinary in of itself. But what are the things that you are most proud of?
In my life or just in that?
In your life. I know you got a lot of things to be proud of, but maybe, you know, give us one interesting thing.
In my life, I guess it's a funny answer, and I didn't think about it. I just let it come to me. I wouldn't, so this is probably on a higher level of me speaking. It wouldn't be individual instances. I could get lost telling all the individual things I'm proud of. I kind of say I'm the most proud of becoming me, discovering me, keeping on with it, you know, going through the whole process of trying to keep an open mind about who am I and following events, following questions. That's what the writer in me did. Keeping an interest in, I'm interested in each new project, that kind of thing. I'm proud of, I guess, developing those qualities. That would be, in the end, the kind of the overarching thing.